Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You are listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadija Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride. All right, so we thought we had Khadija back, but she's still missing. So we're kind of hoping that she just like pops up in the middle of our recording, right? Joins our group ride halfway through.
Like podcast host whack-a-mole. But we hope she pops up and doesn't disappear.
So yeah, it is the end of Ramadan, so today is still, it's a Muslim holiday. True. Still.
True.
Yeah, so it's been sad that we've missed her. Definitely she's going to be back next week as far as we know.
Yeah, and the next week we're also going to have Celine. Well, I'm out because I will be in New York at this like media summit thing. And Celine Yeager from Feisty Menopause is going to join you guys to talk about like this new podcast, feisty podcast special. What's the word for that? What's the word I'm looking for? A series? Whatever. It's super
mashup? No.
Yeah, no. Like a
collab?
Collab, yeah.
A collab.
we're going to drop a collab, yeah. No, but we're doing this like four-part mini-series on hormones. So she's going to come on here next week to kind of answer people's questions about hormones. So if anyone has any questions, they should send in a voicemail. I'm sure she'll talk to you guys about other stuff too, not just hormones.
Hormones will be fun though.
Oh, for sure. But she's a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah. So, and then Jocelyn can also get all of her fasting Ramadan questions answered, because I know she has like a lot of them.
Ooh, maybe up. I should ask Celine about training with a power meter.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because she is so. Because I've been cycling, like doing bike races since I was like a freshman in college, and I still remember her as writing the bike chick column in Cycling Magazine.
Right.
So it'll be fun. I will totally fangirl her.
Oh, good, good. Do you just ask everyone about training with power? Is this just like your?
No, this is because she's the bike chick.
So yeah, that's that'll be next week, and then we think we might have another special guest the week after that. We'll see.
Ooh. Oh, Khadija just messaged me. She will be jumping on. She is stuck in a storm and Atlanta traffic.
Wow, this is just live time podcasting. Sarah's changing rooms. Khadija's driving. This is like as exciting as listening to a group phone call or a group ride.
A real group ride.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick ad break, but on today's episode, we are actually going to, you know, talk about things. We'll talk about Oceanside, about Singapore, about I'm covered in poison oak. And when Khadija joins us, we'll talk about fasting and training and all of our questions.
Chasing Epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but There's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
All right. Here's my thing from this week. Jocelyn can update us on, you know, training with power, but I did like my last big test race for this 100K. I did this 50K race this past weekend. And you guys, I ran straight through poison oak. Like literally I like in the race, I'm like looking down. I was like, yep. Yep. We are just running through poison oak. And I was telling, you know, OG Sarah, old Sarah this, and she thought it was so crazy. So weird. She was like, oh my God. But it's like super common out here. Is this like just a cat? Like, is this just a West Coast? Like, do you guys have, does it happen other places?
Okay. Can we back up to the fact you know that this is really common and still you ended up
No. Okay. So in general in life, like I have a system, right? Like one, I don't like go on super overgrown single track trails at this time of year because that's like when it's like really prevalent. But then two, usually I would like baby wipe as soon as I get home and tech new. The problem was this was a race, so I didn't have a lot of option about not going through the poison oak. It
so
wasn't like I could
run
like,
with baby wipes.
Right. I didn't. And then by the time I got home, the race was so long, hours had passed. So even though I like got it off me, it had been too long.
Oh, it like seeped into you.
Yes. Yes.
So really the race organizers should have planned better for this.
Yeah, they were like shocked too. They were like, oh, you have, because I at the finish, I was like, can I get something? Because I just don't want it on my hands. I don't want poison oak on my hands and then like touch everything. And oh, they were so confused. Yeah, that would be bad, right? So Khadijah's here.
Khadijah's here. Is that, are you in Betsy?
The van?
Hold on. I think I'm going to give feedback, but. No, I am in the Camry. I don't have a name for the Camry because it's just like a regular vehicle.
All right, Khadijah, you are joining us mid-ride. So we're going to try and just like bring you into the Peloton, you know?
Okay. All right. I can do that.
We were just talking about poison oak or poison ivy on the East Coast. And I want to know, is this like as common as it is out here? Do you guys like?
I never had it when I lived in California for the first, what, 2 decades of my life. And then I got it here one time helping my husband do some yard work and it got all over my arms. Like it was bad. I'd never had it before. And then we went to a wedding and my arms were like weeping. It was so gross. And he's like, oh, honey, you never have to help me with yard work again. And I was like, yes.
So
almost worth it.
Almost worth it.
What did your poison oak get you out of, Kelly?
So far, nothing. Alyssa was like, oh, are you still running? And I was like, of course you can run with poison oak. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, nice. Alyssa's probably the one to ask just because she has done so many miles in wooded places.
She said it's not that common. I mean, it happens, but it's not that common. So I don't know. It's pretty common here. No, I actually had never gotten it forever and ever until a race one time. And then once you get it badly, you get it again because it's like an allergic reaction. So you guys, if you never get it, then you might never, like, don't, because then you just get it worse and worse every time.
I'm never doing yard work again.
There you go. All right, Khadijah, we also wanted to hear, though, all about, we haven't seen you in weeks. We want to hear all about Ramadan and Galveston. You did Galveston 70.3?
Yeah, so it was a hot mess, but I made it. I finished. I was shooting for a top 5, and I wasn't even in the top 20. My training was okay, but of course, because I was fasting for Ramadan, for those of you who don't know what Ramadan is, Muslims fast for 30 days during the month. Literally, Ramadan is a month on the Islamic calendar. We fast for 30 days. So no food, no water, nothing, not even water, from sunup to sundown. So I did all of my training basically fasted.
Did you do it like in the morning beforehand, or did you do it like during the day?
Some of it I did during the day. My swimming, I kind of crossed over. I went to the pool early, and it kind of, fasting would start like mid workout. But most of my tough stuff, I timed it so I finished just before it was time to break fast so that I could recover properly. But most of it was done during the daylight hours. And I tried to get extra sleep because I knew, you know, I wasn't getting all the calories that I needed. And I've never trained this hard during Ramadan. So this is the first time I've trained for a 70.3 during Ramadan. And I actually did better than I thought I would. I missed one workout the entire time. I missed quite a few targets, but I didn't miss any workouts. And I went into the race feeling pretty fit. When I got into the race, my body just was not absorbing enough calories to push hard. So I just kept going to see how things fell out.
Because you said,
explain how you can, like when you were traveling, you're saying you don't have to fast. So you were able to take in calories like during the race.
Exactly. So when Muslims are sick or they're pregnant or they're traveling, it says in the Quran, you don't fast. So I fasted the first day of traveling because I started the day at home. But the days while I was in Galveston, I did not fast. And the day that I traveled home, since I started traveling, I didn't fast that day. And I started fasting the next day on Tuesday. And then today is the Eid day, which is the end of Ramadan. So we had no fasting today, Eid prayer. And I'll make up the days that I missed traveling after. So you have an option to, you can either make up the days or you can feed people. And I generally do both. I have a sorority sister who does a program in Guinea-Conakry. So I send money to help with the feeding people there. And then I also make up the date. I just need to make sure. So I prefer to.
So it wasn't, so you said it wasn't, it actually went better than you thought it would go. Cause I would be like, oh my God, that sounds really, really hard.
Yeah, it did. The race didn't go as well as I thought I could. Cause I didn't think my body would reject calories like that. I didn't even consume half of my nutrition, and I vomited part of that up because my body was just like, okay, where's all this food coming from?
Right.
And then on the run, as soon as I crossed the finish line, my body was kind of rejecting it. But the training went well, and I felt strong. I really did. I just felt strong. I just didn't have enough energy to push any watts. Sure. And when I got on the run, my legs felt amazing. I just, every time I picked up the pace, I was like, okay, what are we doing this with?
I was reading about wrestlers trying to make weight the other day, and there's like a new, like higher, whatever, a better protocol these days. Cause like, you know, it used to be just like, don't eat. And so anyway, they have a better, but the point is, Khadijah, now they realize that like, as they're coming back from not like, cause they really cut down on a bunch of stuff for like, they have to like go slowly back up to like full eating again, because otherwise they get like really sick and have GI distress. So it's like fascinating. Yeah.
It's like weaning. Reverse weaning.
Yeah. It was clearly 2 days was not enough.
Right.
And I know, not that I would do this again, if, and I would put myself in this situation again, who knows, but I know better. I know better now, but I really think my coach did a good job of adjusting what I was doing, and just understanding the communication was there. So she knew how I was feeling. She adjusted my training appropriately. And like I said, I really feel strong. I just did not, it was an energy level situation. And I liked where I stayed at Galveston. I stayed at the Galveston RV resort, but it was really nice.
Oh, with Betsy.
Yep, I stayed in the van. I always like to stay in the van, but it was actually a really nice location.
Really? Was it still in the like parking lot of the like hotel? Because that's all I remember from Galveston is like running around a parking lot.
Yeah, the resort is about a mile and a half away, but the race you do run around like it was, the run course was kind of crazy. Once you understand what it's doing, it's okay. But trying to figure it out, the first loop was like, okay, where am I going? Left, right, left, right, left, right. But overall, I mean, it was a nice course. The bike course is kind of boring. If you're the kind of person that just likes to sit there and push watts, knock yourself out, no climbing, just push watts, turn around, push watts. That's it.
I was not a big fan of that race because you just go straight out, literally on a flat road. And then you turn around and you come straight back.
No bike handling skills required. But I did. I liked the location because I liked being on the water. I liked camping. The people at the RV resort were really nice, just really amazing. I got a few because I can't pray inside the van. So, I mean, people were like, they're like, okay, why is she, what is she doing? Is she in outside of the, but everybody was really cool. It was just, I liked the venue. The course is, you know, I like the swim and I like the run. The bike was just kind of really boring. I'd do it again, though. I'd definitely do it again.
I did not put it on my do it again list. I was like, no, that was good. So your goal was top five, though, to get, because obviously we all got to get our knee spots. So what's your next one? What's the next one we're going after this for?
So I race in Chattanooga in a couple of weeks, stiff competition at Chattanooga. So, I mean, all I can do is go out there and put myself out there. I really want to race in Nice. I really do. So, I mean, I just got to put myself out there and see what happens.
If Sarah managed to sign up, she'll be in Chattanooga too. We don't know.
I heard they're kicking folks out, blacking folks.
Oh, no. Sarah's going to get blackballed, get kicked out of races. It's going to be great. No, I'm kidding. That's what she just said.
What?
No, obviously, we have to make sure you get in. That's our primary goal here.
Did you sign up? Sarah, did you take our advice and sign up for all the things last
Not
week?
All the things.
Not okay, all good. The things, but good. A few things. Good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I did take advice. Sometimes you folks actually know what you're talking about.
And this whole podcast is just to make sure you know what's going on in triathlon.
I do. They had that mortal stuff on the course.
Oh, did
See?
They?
I'm not crazy. They had a little bit of Gatorade, and then they had like two tables of that mortal stuff. And it was funny because people were sipping it and then like, what is this? And then throwing it out. It tastes awful.
Really?
Oh. That is good to know.
I was going to say, because they said that there was some Gatorade, like, for a while until, you know, whatever, until there's actually, like, a new contract with whoever, you know. But, yeah. They also sent samples. If you use your USA, so if you are a USAT member, you get, like, $80 at the feed, like, for free. So I used mine to, like, well, also get a free personalized water bottle. Very exciting. And then my free personalized water bottle showed up with mortal hydration. And I was like, oh, well, there you go. No, I haven't.
You haven't sampled
I
it
thought
yet.
You were saying, but you know what? I personalized my water bottle with Kelly's. So don't touch. This is my water bottle. It's Kelly's.
Kelly's. Kelly's water bottle.
Put mom on it and everybody will drink out of it.
Oh, no. That'd be terrible. And Jocelyn, how's your training going? Are you ready for your going after your knee spot?
I've got 8.5 weeks. So I was starting to get a little self-doubt, but then I realized if I can just hit 8 to 10 hours of training every week for 8 weeks, which I feel like is very doable, if I just put in the work, brick by brick, as they say, then I feel like I'll be in a good spot by June 9th. But it's kind of crazy. So I was tracking Khadijah, but I was also seeing, like, I wonder if people are really going for their niece slots at these races.
Oceanside, they were definitely, like, a lot of the age group women were definitely going for their niece spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was looking at, so I'm in 40 to 44, and my goal at Eagleman is, like, I think if I can break 5 hours, that'll get me in top five. And I think in Galveston, it was like 7th or 8th. We're all under 5 hours. And like the first woman was like 4:32. And I
was like, you were like, I don't think I'm going to do 4:32. Probably not.
I'm not going to be in 4:32 shape. Like, if I have a strong day, I feel like I have a shot at going under five. But yeah, I was like, if I break 5 hours, I could still like not get top five, but we'll see how it goes.
I mean, the whole thing, like putting some spots on the 70.3s, it wasn't like, for all the people that were like, well, for all that some dudes on the internet were like, oh, this is watering it down. These are like very competitive races and the spots don't roll down. So it's actually like, it's like harder to get top five at, you know, Oceanside or Eagleman than, you know, some of the traditional slots, for sure.
And I don't want to do a full Ironman to get an Ironman slot. I don't want to do two of them. I don't really even want to do one. I just want to hang out with you guys.
I do think it is really good for the sport that so many women are taking other spots, though. Like, I just thinking about, okay, is this whole split location experiment working? We'll find out, but that's,
I also
really
think
good
it
sign.
Is good overall to like not require everyone to do an Ironman to do an Ironman. Like, we know that we're like, it's like, it's the same thing's happening in trail running, right? Where it's like, oh, you have to do a 100-miler to enter this 100-miler. And then we're like, why aren't there so many women or people of color, or why is it not diverse? And you're like, well, you're putting up more barriers and making it. And I get it. People are like, well, it should be hard, but, you know, also it's hard enough.
It's hard enough to train for a 70.3. I mean, expecting people to train for two Ironman races, distance races in a year, it's a huge time commitment.
I did realize, you know how we're all trying to go to Nice. So obviously I'm only have one, like you guys have a couple of, I'm only doing one race and I'm hoping it works out. So I'm at Placid, but then I realize if I actually do get my spot and go to Nice, I'm going from Placid to Paris and then to Tour de France Femmes, then to Boston. So I'm basically going to have to do an Ironman off of like a month of like not having a bike or training. You realize?
But you'll have be trained up for Lake Placid. Like, if, and I am only doing Eagleman. Like, if I don't get the slot there, then I'm going to be sad because then I won't get to go. But that I won't be trained up for an Ironman by then. At least you'll be trained up for Ironman.
And then I'll just like coast it through my Olympics. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Exactly. Residual fitness. My residual fitness from Ironman distance is like,
how long do you think residual fitness lasts?
Hopefully 13 years.
I think at my age, 24 hours.
24 they gotta hours. Train.
For Ironman fitness, 3 months.
Well, there's definitely an amount where, like, if you're really fit, like, you can get away with, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a year later, it maybe only takes you 3 months to get in shape, right? Like, you definitely have some base. But yeah. I have watched mine deteriorate slowly over the last 3 to 4 years. And now I'm like, okay, I think whatever there was is fully gone now. Well, not like now, but last October, like, it was gone. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think some of it is mental capacity too, because I know you can talk yourself through some things or be more logical about how you're going to manage getting to, because I mean, like, as lousy as I felt at Galveston, even though I was probably a much faster athlete 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to talk myself through that. I probably would have tried to push till I passed out, and that would have been done. And I've done that before. I pushed myself till I passed out instead of saying, okay, your energy level's low. Let's figure out how are we going to walk through aid stations? Right. Or are we going to try to find something to, you know, get your sugar, your blood sugar up? I think mental capacity helps a lot as well. So you'll understand how to get yourself through it, even if you're not, you know, 100%.
So I was telling them before you joined our group, right? I did this 50K this past weekend, and I went into one of those like dark holes pretty early because it was just like for a number of reasons, whatever. And I went into like, we're not even an hour and a half in yet. I'm never going to be able to do this. Like, I'm terrible. I should just quit, right? Like, pretty, and almost 90-something% of the time, those things are 100% nutritional. You like probably just need to eat more.
Okay.
That's like the whole joke, right? Like, you want to quit the sport? Have a gel. Have a Snickers.
Have a Snickers. It's a Snickers commercial.
So. All right. We'll take a quick break and then we're going to talk about actual triathlon. Crazy. So Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's aminoco, aminoco.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift. All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with One Water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year. And I used TryHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TryHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TryHard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try TryHard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the TryHard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co.
Okay, since everybody knows, I don't actually know what's happening in triathlon. Please tell me.
Well, did anyone actually watch Oceanside or parts of it? I watched parts of it later on like the outside watch.
I watched the Instagram highlights.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet because I've been so busy. But like Jocelyn, because Barlow was there, I watched some of the highlights. But I want to go back and watch it. I heard it was a good race and Lionel won, so I'm sure he'll have several rants about a lot of things.
Side point, somebody like got up on my case today about like not knowing exactly what Lionel was doing this year, and I was like, Lionel doesn't know, how am I supposed to know which races Lionel's doing? Like, he changes his mind every week anyway. But yeah, Lionel won, which is good. But Taylor Nib won by so much.
She destroyed,
like, just under 11 minutes. It was like 10:57 she won by or something like that, which is crazy.
You know why? Oh, every second
and then
counts.
Yes, this is where I was going with this, is that okay, so the actual Ironman Pro Series scoring is you lose a point for every second of time. And I didn't like totally put that together with their slogan, every second counts. What is their other part? You don't have to be first, but you do have to be fast. That's the other one they keep saying. Mm-hmm. But the problem now is that because Taylor was there, all those women score almost nothing. Not almost nothing, but like 14th place got 0 points. Brutal. 14th in the men's got 1,700 points.
Oh!
Yeah. So they got like really screwed by the fact that Taylor was there. You see what I'm saying?
But don't worry, pro women. She's not racing another Ironman event until after the Olympics.
Right. Like, obviously, she's not going to actually race until Worlds, but it does seem like this then discourages. It's like you would not want to do a race where you knew. Right? Like, that doesn't
that
seem
she was racing?
Like that's the goal. That doesn't seem
Because she downed him by 657 points, right?
Yeah.
So 60
like that.
Times 10, 600. Yeah, 657 points. So you, I mean, for second, you're not even getting 2,000.
That's like not worth it then, right? That's just
I'm good. She'll win all of hers. She can race all by herself. Have fun.
So I wonder if Ironman is, thinking about that. Reconsider. I mean, they're not going to change it like halfway now, but.
Yeah, I would say points by position but then on the flip side, sure, it probably made some men race a little harder.
Sure.
So I'm sure there are women doing the math on the course being like, okay, I'm not going to get any points. So why am I going to turn myself inside out for no money and no points? But on the flip side, the men were probably like, I need to go hard every single step to stay as close as I can.
Right.
So I think there is something to be said about as it plays out, it's a great idea. It's just maybe some of the races for the women, you have a Taylor Nib who really messes it up, but it's just, those aren't close enough races to make it worthwhile for some athletes.
I mean, what you'd have to do is, and obviously, every, skiing and running, and, they all have systems like this, but they also have, whatever you want to call it, a strength of field factor or a, multiplier for, how, right? Like, they are some kind of acknowledgement for how good a field is because otherwise, right? If I win a race, which is not going to happen, but if I won a 70.3, I get the same amount of points as Taylor. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like, it treats every 70.3 and every athlete as equally the same, good.
Hey, good for you though.
I know. Great. I totally want a 70.3.
It reminds me a little bit about the old 8% prize money rule. Cause I'd done my best Ironman MDOT race, I got fifth place at Ironman Malaysia, but because it was so hot and humid, it spread out the field and only the top three women got paid.
Because there was the 8% rule.
Because of the 8%. We didn't finish within 8% of the winner's time.
Do you remember some of the women, obviously that was really annoying, dumb rule, and some of the women would stop right before the finish line and just wait, that happened. I was texting with somebody though, and we were like, there is a 0% chance Taylor Nib would ever stop.
Jocelyn wouldn't like that either.
It's not gonna happen. So the other race, that was the big races, but then I have to say I actually was also having a hard time keeping, there was Paris-Roubaix, there was basketball, my mom was then texting me about she was watching the soccer, she believes cup. There was just a lot of sports this weekend.
I did watch basketball, women's basketball. Yes.
Yeah. You and 19 million other
That's
people.
That's right. It's funny because I was I'm not really on Threads that much. How Instagram wants to have their own Twitter or X or whatever, Threads. But I saw that you had, Kelly, you had posted I love this commentary team, but I didn't see that until it was during Oceanside. And I'm is she talking about the Oceanside commentary team? No, you're not.
The women that ESPN had a group of three women who are all either former college players or former WNBA players doing the commentary. And they were just really, really good. I really enjoyed having a very knowledgeable women's team commenting the tournament.
as it should be.
Yeah. And they were not putting up with any shit. That was the other thing. There was no, yeah, I like it. So, but then this upcoming weekend is Singapore PTO T100. I have a hard time saying T100 still.
Because it's like the Terminator.
Right. And you guys, there is this like heat wave sweeping Southeast Asia. So when you did Singapore last year, Sarah, how, I mean, obviously it's always hot there, but like how hot was it?
It was stupidly hot and humid. So the fact that like a heat wave in a place that's known for being stupidly hot.
Right.
This must just be insane, unhealthy conditions for sport.
They're like closing schools. I was like, they're worried that like, or there were scientists worried that like the coral was going to die in the ocean because it was getting too warm.
Oh, because the water's getting too warm.
Wow. So I think it's like beyond like, oh, this is just really shitty.
I'm going to look up the forecast right now.
Right now, it said it was going to be like 90, which is fine temperature, whatever, but 90 and like 88% humidity or something like that.
Yeah, it's humid there.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Khadijah's making it.
I mean, living in Atlanta, I mean, we're out here 100 degrees. Sometimes it's hot as 105 degrees and really humid, but that just doesn't sound safe, especially as hard as some of the professionals are, well, all of them are pushing. That's crazy. I wouldn't even, I wouldn't even, at some point.
The race is also at like 2 p.m. It's like middle
of the
afternoon.
It's going to be raining too, Saturday, right? I high of rain... 90, real feel of 103, parentheses, very hot.
You needed your weather app to tell you that?
My concern is that, so for these T100 races, they're trying to push the amateur side hard. I'm more concerned about the amateur athletes doing those races than I am the professionals. Yes, the professionals go super hard, and there probably will be some folks ending up in the med tent. If I was racing, I probably would end up in the med tent, let's be honest. But like for people, if you want to encourage people in the sport, you know, those are some dangerous, dangerous conditions for folks who aren't used to exercising. Like,
I don't, they'll turn it into an e-tri indoor triathlon. Yeah.
I feel like they might, I mean, I have no idea what they're going to do. I haven't heard any rumor, but I feel like shortening it is certainly a possibility, but I also don't know. And maybe, I don't know how full their age group, I don't know like who is signed up for the age group race. I know they said it sold out, but I don't like know what, like you know what I mean? Like you said, like people who are not used to exercise, like, I don't know if it's like who it is that's doing their age group race.
Yeah. Last year it was a decent number. Seems like some folks came over from Australia, New Zealand, and from throughout the region. So it was people traveled to Singapore to do the race. But yeah, I think there's the other part that I get really concerned about is whether or not the aid stations are going to have enough. You know, that's probably the bigger problem for these new races that aren't used to having those sorts of plans in place, like tons of races, you end up in the back of the fields. They don't really, they don't have ice left. They haven't had ice for hours.
For hours.
You know, they don't, no, honestly, like in Ironman races, like they run out of ice. They're running low on supplies, like sponges long gone.
Because I've raced like Ironman Malaysia, I've raced Ironman China and Singapore 70.3, and you know, I always got stuff, water, but everyone then when it's really hot, everyone's just grabbing the water cups and throwing them over their heads, so then there's no water to drink for the later folks, because you dumped it all over your head and on the ground, and yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it certainly happens. Like, you hear about it especially, like, you hear about it less with track, you hear about it a lot with marathons, because of the sheer number of people, like, whenever there's, like, Chicago was, like, super hot one year, and they, like, ran out of water, right, and it was, like, people stumbling around Southside. which is always great.
Or maybe they'll move it to nighttime, because Singapore does have what they call the Sundown Marathon, which starts at sundown, which I always thought sounded pretty cool. Like, I would do that.
You would do that?
I feel like riding bikes in a city is a bad idea.
It's very well lit.
Sarah, don't ruin Jocelyn's idea.
The lifeguards all have night vision goggles. I love it. Right. I can see your vision. They can't see the buoys, but I can see your vision.
It'll be interesting, though. We'll see. I don't know. It's definitely not on my, like, to your point, Sarah, like, you were like, you would end up in the med tent. I would not do a race over there. Like, it would go badly for me. It would go very badly. So I'm going to guess that whoever does well in those conditions is who will win.
That's it's going to be Haley.
Sophisticated prediction. Yeah.
Haley Chura from snow cold Montana. Yeah. Somehow is amazing in very hot and humid races.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. All right. What other triathlon news do you not know about, Sarah?
Name it. Honestly. I don't know. This has not been like a conscious decision to get off of Instagram, but like basically since after Kona, like I just haven't been able to re-engage.
Sure.
I don't even know that the app's on my phone. The app is on my phone, but that's where I get all my triathlon news, I think.
Right.
Like, that's how I get psyched about my sport. And I'm focused on my little world and training and all that. And thankfully I have this podcast as a conduit to like make a good pitch for why I need to re-enter.
Oh, it's for our group chat. You are in our group chat.
Yeah, she did add you to the group chat. It's an interesting question, though. Like, do you need to be in the weeds of like every rant, right? Like, because I obviously like know a lot of people who get super, super, super in like the minutia of like every little bit of news, and I feel like you don't need that, though.
Have you guys talked about the indoor triathlon, though? Have you guys talked about that?
We did last week. Yeah.
Yes.
But do you have additional thoughts that you would like to share?
Yeah, kind of thought it was corny.
Okay.
Yeah, with the flashing lights and everything, it just didn't feel like triathlon to me. With the limited space, it's definitely not something that's going to engage amateurs trying to go. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's
I guess they're trying to make it more spectator friendly, kind of like how Super League was trying to turn it almost into like video game-ish type thing with the, I don't know. It just came off as really corny to me.
Oh, that's this weekend too. The eTri World Championships are this weekend. And shout out to one of our intern editors, Lydia. She's racing.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Go, Lydia. Can you explain how it's different than Super Tri or this indoor one?
Well, okay. So to be totally fair, eTri World Champs is Super Tri. Like, that is Super Tri runs it. It's just like an official world championships, the same way T100 is an official. I feel like I'm making quotes with my fingers as if people can see this on a podcast. It's official. Yeah. So it's what was the Arena Games. They just renamed it in their whole like rebranding that was sold to them by some consultant.
E-try.
E-try.
Not confusing at all.
No, not like they were like, you know what? Too many people know about the Arena Games. We should change the name to confuse people.
There's something obscure that sounds
so. These consultants are getting paid for these corny names. I don't get it.
Definitely.
I could give them corny names for half the price. Call me up. Hit me up. Khadija@gmail.com.
I could give them better branding for double the price. So. But yeah, that's this weekend too. And it's fun. It's cute. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. Like,
where
it's something
is
different.
It?
London.
Okay. It's not something that you can log in on from home, because then people would cheat and lie about their weight.
No, it's definitely like an in-person situation.
Even though it's E.
Right. They're like on their stationary bikes next to the pool. and then they run down the side of the pool and jump on the treadmill.
I still think it's dumb that they actually swim for real, but they don't.
What do you want them to do?
For real.
Like, I don't understand. I don't understand what your alternative is.
Like Vasa Trainer Erg.
You're just trying to make this even stupider.
I mean, it's that's the equivalent of going nowhere on your bike and going nowhere on the treadmill.
They're trying to keep it in an arena, Jocelyn, in a, like, so everyone can watch it. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, you never did one of these, did you, Sarah?
No.
No.
They seem kind of fun, though.
Yeah, I would do it. Fun. Yeah. Why not? I never got into Zwift racing either. Did any of you guys? I just never. No.
I Zwift a lot, but I don't race.
You don't race.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, I've jumped into a couple races, but I've never done the league stuff.
Okay.
And it's really fun. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I can't see. I just like, can't see myself getting into, like, right. Like I can't see myself getting pumped up for it.
I mean, I wouldn't feel as excited about it as I do a real in-person race. But I do go harder than I would on my own.
Okay, here's my question then for you before we go do your, you know, random question. Are you a person, everybody, are you a person who, like, races, like, you're a race, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can do way better on a race day than anything you can ever do in training? Or are you just like, it's this, right? You know, is there a switch that flips or not?
Yes. I'm a race. I race harder on race day for sure.
Like, you just, like, pull shit out of your ass.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, there was no indication I should have went that fast.
Okay.
And yet I did.
And yet I did. Yeah, because that's how I am. So I have a hard time on things that are, like, don't feel like a race. So
I would say my racing generally reflects my training. Yeah. Like, it's within that range. I wish I could race better than my training. I'm really jealous, actually.
I really like to beat people, and I usually train by myself. So, like, just being in an environment where there's other people I can beat, like, it, like, something turns on, and I'm just like, I can go faster. I can beat you. I will crush you.
It's actually been sort of a problem for me with these ultra running things, both because, one, they're too long. You can't actually. And then, two, my confidence in myself exceeds my actual fitness still. Like, because we were talking about how my fitness tanked, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like coming back, but my belief in what I could do is significantly higher than what I can actually do. So there's been like some moments out there where I like have a whole crisis.
Yeah, usually the swim, depending on what kind of traffic I'm in, is usually what I am. The bike, I'm usually about probably 10% higher on the bike, simply because I'm trying to, like, get around people. And on the run, probably 5 or 10% faster. But it's just a matter of I do everything self-supported, but having stuff out there so I can just grab and go, and I have to worry about carrying. I hate carrying stuff in my hands, so I love it. The races, I just, you know, shove everything in my bra, and if I need ice, I can just grab it. I don't have to worry about figuring out, you know, how I'm gonna.
Right.
So usually it's reflective of where I am, and if my nutrition's on, I'm usually 10-15% higher than what I train at, but it's nothing like miraculous. I'm definitely not pulling anything out of my behind. And I like solitude. I hate the race, like the races where we're constantly passing people. I can't stand that. I like that long stretch where nobody's there and you just gotta go. So maybe that's a little bit different for me. I like, and like all the waving and tapping people. No. I like to just zone out. I got my shades on. I got my visor all the way down to the top of my shades. Please don't talk to me.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't want, why do we have to wave to everybody? Yeah. Yeah.
Not in a race.
No.
Yeah.
All right, Sarah, do you have a random question for the end of the episode?
I do. So the other day I was driving back. It was this beautiful day. And there were a whole bunch of people running on this one road next to the river. And I recalled this to Ben. He's like, oh, were they like part of the Dartmouth team, like real runners, or were they hobby joggers? I'm like, hobby joggers. And we got into this whole debate about whether or not that's like kind of offensive to everybody that's, you know, below the level of a college runner, like a competitive on the team varsity runner. I'm like, there's got to be a better term for somebody
who's really derogative.
Thank you. And he's like, I don't know, weekend warrior. I'm like, no, they're not weekend warriors either. I'm like, because I feel like weekend warrior, there's also kind of a negative connotation. Like, am I wrong in being like, no, neither one of these terms really fits?
It's like, I think hobby jogger is the term people used to use. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what the phrase would be, though, for, like, runner. Like, when you say, like, a, you know, recreational runner, like, they're not a fucking pro athlete. Like,
but there's such a spectrum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yes, there are hobby joggers, but just because you're not, like, an elite.
Right. Those are not the only two categories.
Runner, or a pro. Like, that doesn't mean you're automatically, like, you're down in this category.
It's true. But then, like, I think, I will say, I do feel like pro runners, especially guys, Sarah, have a chance, like, in their head, there's either, like, you are a serious runner, you're once a runner, and you're, like, or you're, like, everybody else. That's like, there is no differentiation.
That can't be just hobby jogger. Either you're like a professional or like
non, I would say you're just a non-elite, like a non-elite runner.
I feel like I would just be like, oh, you're a runner. Like you just, oh, they're just like, they're runners. Yeah.
There were some joggers. There were some runners, but like.
I feel like the term I usually use is like casual. Like when I'm trying to explain to like somebody like, oh, my friend, she's like, you know, she's like a casual runner. She like. Maybe runs like twice a week. Like that's how I would say, right? I'd be like, oh casual runner. Casual like runner. Yeah. She's not like racing, but she like runs.
Am I a casual triathlete?
Probably. No. I don't know. You're on a triathlon podcast, so I think that gets rid of any casualness. So.
This is true.
You know, but Jocelyn, if you added up the hours that you train and the hours that like, you know, you get into fights with the pro try guys on Instagram, like it all works out. It all counts. It's all triathlon related. Yeah.
Definitely.
I consider myself a therapy triathlete because this is my therapy. So
okay.
Some people who are not elite, I mean, they're competitive. There's a different, can you say competitive age grouper or casual age grouper? Some people do it for a purpose. Hobby jogger, I thought that was like a disease or something. That doesn't sound good.
I will say, I think in triathlon, we're also like more used to the concept of like competitive age grouper, like people who do this quite seriously, even though they're like not professionals. I didn't like running because running is like 20 times bigger than there's so many more people. There's like triathlon, there's almost no equivalent of like, oh, I casually triathlon. Like that's not a thing, right? Like they don't, that doesn't exist. So
sometimes, well, no, I every now and then one of my coworkers is like, I'm gonna do a triathlon just like for funsies and like don't really train for it and like do it on like a mountain bike.
Yeah.
And that's like casual.
But that's like pretty, but then they definitely wouldn't like call themselves a triathlete. You know what I mean? They'd be like, oh yeah, I did a triathlon.
Although I reassure them.
Oh, no, I'm not saying they should call themselves a triathlete. Yes, I'm just saying in the scheme of like, you know, what Ben would think about them. No kidding.
Well, I guess people do use, they're casual joggers. They're casual runners. They integrate it into their exercise routine.
I don't think most people
don't integrate triathlon into their exercise routine in the same way.
Or if they swim and bike and run, but don't race triathlons,
they don't call themselves a triathlete. This is the whole thing that's weird. Like triathlon is like, whatever. We had this whole crisis at Triathlete Magazine during the peak pandemic because there were no races, right? And triathlon is defined by races. So it's like, if you don't have races, you're just like exercising a lot. And lots of people like, bike and swim and run, but they're not triathletes. They just like exercise.
Yes.
So then you're like,
because we
what
don't
is
say
this?
We exercise. We say we're training.
Training.
Doing
right.
the quote fingers. We're training. I always say this is my training volume and my training plan, but I don't call it my exercise plan because you're training for something.
Yeah, it's probably, so yeah, I don't know. Do they still, like, Sarah, you should tell that, do they call it cardio? That's probably the big difference in runners.
That's what the CrossFitters say.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I was at CrossFit one day, and the coach is like, oh, you run? She likes to run, too. And this girl starts, and it was one of those things where, like, totally nice person. But then she's like, oh, what's your pace? And you're like, I don't know how to answer that, right? Like, I don't know. And she's like, what do you do for what? Right? I was like, what's my pace for
100 so, yeah. meters?
So she definitely calls it cardio, right? So the difference.
Yeah. Well, if any of our listeners have some amazing nomenclature system that they have worked out, please let us know, because, you know, we don't know everything. And we think that some of you probably do. Drop us an email. Slide into Jocelyn's DMs, whatever. And we'll be back next week. My time, my time. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.